Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. Now, today we're going to continue in our series. And, folks, if you went to college, even if you went to high school, you've run into professors or teachers who have said there's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is subjective. Your truth may not be my truth, and my truth may not be your truth. I'm sure you've run into people even like this. Now, is that true? Is that really the way it is? Well, we're going to talk about that today from the Bible, because that's what we study here on Lon Solomon Ministries. We study the Bible. Come on, say it with me. The whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do right now. So, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we take up this incredibly important topic of truth and what can we trust to tell us the truth, Lord, I pray that you would anoint me and give me power to preach the word correctly today, and that you would open the hearts of those listening, that truth might resonate in their heart, and that they would be deeply helped and affected by what we teach from the Word of God today. So, Holy Spirit, illuminate our spirits that we might grasp the truths of the Word of God today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. We've been studying the Gospels, and we are approaching the end of the Gospels. The Lord Jesus now, we've reached the point where he's standing in front of Pilate. And we covered a little bit of that conversation yesterday, but we're going to pick up and cover the rest of it, or at least some of it, today. So, we're going to John's Gospel, John chapter 18. And the Lord Jesus and Pilate are having a discussion. And we're going to pick up a partway through that discussion. Okay? Chapter 18 of John, verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself, or did others tell you about this?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." Okay, now watch. "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Now, what we want to focus today is Jesus' comment and Pilate's response in verse 37 and 38. Jesus said, look at verse 37, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." To which Pilate responded and said, "What is truth?" Now here we have a classic confrontation between the two definitions of truth. We have Pilate's definition of truth, which is that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is subjective. Nobody can know the truth. Because there is no the truth. There are lots of truths out there. And the other perspective is the one that Jesus has. I came into the world, he says, to bear witness to the truth. Not to a truth, but to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Classic confrontation. Jesus saying, there is absolute truth in the universe. I'm here to bear witness of that absolute truth. Pilate saying, there's no absolute truth. Your truth is as good as anybody else's truth, Jesus. Okay, you got it? All right. Now, it's interesting that in John's gospel, 23 times Jesus uses the word truth. 23 times. It's a lot. Let me give you just a few examples of him using this word, or John's gospel using it. How about John chapter 1, verse 14? Here we go. And the Word, the Lord Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Right. How about John chapter 8, verse 32? Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. How about John 14:6? Jesus said, I am the way. And what did he say after that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the truth, Jesus said. I just don't bear the truth. I am the truth. And how about chapter 15 of John's gospel? Verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Helper comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And how about John 17, verse 17? Wow, this is the ultimate, the penultimate, the quintessential comment on the truth. Look at verse 17. Jesus said, sanctify the disciples by your truth. Now watch, your word is truth. There you have it. Thy word is truth, as the old King James says. Thy word is truth. Now here, we have the Lord Jesus Christ making it clear that in his mind, there is absolute truth. He came to present absolute truth to us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth to reinforce and to help us understand the truth. There is the truth. In fact, Jesus is the personification of truth. And where do we find truth? We find truth in God's word. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now that's the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say thy word is a truth. He didn't say I came to bear witness of a truth, of which there are many. Buddha has the truth. Muhammad has the truth. Joseph Smith of the Mormons has the truth. L. Ron Hubbard of the Scientology people has a truth. William Taze Russell of Jehovah's Witnesses has a truth. Confucius has a truth. No. Jesus said, I am the truth, and I bear witness of the truth, and the Bible is the truth. So, who are you going to believe? Well, you got to make that choice. And this is the problem in our world. Look with me at John chapter 8, verse 44. This is a very insightful an important comment that the Lord Jesus makes here. John 8, verse 44. He said to the Jewish leaders, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Who's behind all of this relativistic thinking about there are many truths? Satan's behind this. Yes, he is. He is the father of lies. And why does Jesus call him the father of lies? Well, it all began back in the garden, where he said to Adam, Genesis chapter 3, "Did God say to you that if you eat of the fruit of this tree, that you will die? You will not surely die." Now, was that true or false? That's false. That's false. Not only did Abraham eventually die physically, but he died instantly when he ate spiritually. This is why he ran away from God when God came looking for him a little while later in the garden. He had never run away from God before. He had never been scared of God before. There had never been this kind of breach in their relationship before. So why did he run away like that? Because he had died spiritually. His connectedness with the Lord had died spiritually. Now, God taught him to make sacrifices for his sin, and God forgave him. And he again came alive through the sacrifice of that animal, through the shedding of its blood to God. But he would never have died physically, I don't believe, had he not done this sin. This is why Jesus calls Satan a murderer. He murdered Adam and Eve, and he murders every single other person who follows him that goes into eternity and finds themselves in hell. The parable of the rich man, it's not a parable, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died, and in hell he opened his eyes. Yeah. Now, Satan is the one behind all of this relativistic teaching about truth that is being done in our world today by teachers, by professors, by people. And we send our kids away to go to Harvard or someplace else, and they come back saying, "Well, you know, Dad, there are a lot of different truths in the world, not just Christianity, not just Jesus, not just the Bible." And you're like, where in the world did they get this from? Well, they got it from their friends and their professors, whom these universities allowed to dominate the faculty and swing what the university is teaching away from the truth to there are lots of truths. I suppose the approach of these relativistic people can be summed up pretty well in a quote from Max Born. Max Born was a very famous nuclear physicist in the early 1900s, and he was the grandfather, are you ready for this, of Olivia Newton-John, the great singer. Yeah, can you believe that? He was. And here's what he said, and I quote, he won the Nobel Prize also as a physicist. Okay, here's what he said, and I quote, "I believe that ideas like absolute truth are figments of the imagination. The belief in a single truth and being the possessor thereof is the root cause of all evil in the world." End of quote. Won the 1954 Nobel Prize. This was a smart guy. But he believes that the idea of single truth and someone ever being in the possession of it is, what does he say, the root cause of all evil in the world. And that's what your kids, my grandkids, that's what people want to teach them in a various different settings. And you and I need to be strong in countering that and saying, oh no, God's word is truth. Jesus believed in absolute truth. He talked about the truth, not a truth. And you can depend on this book to tell you the absolute truth. All right. Now, let's ask our most important question and finish up by talking about what differences does it make to our life. You ready? Here we go. Come on. One, two, three. So what? Oh, yeah. God has given us absolute truth, not a truth, the truth. Jesus preached it. Jesus is it. The Holy Spirit is it. And the Bible contains it. And how great is that? In fact, it's so great that we say, come on, how sweet it is to have absolute truth available to us. So what do I want you to take home with you today? I want you to take home with you the teaching of the Bible that there is absolute truth in this universe. You say, what is it? Well, I'll give you some of it. There is a holy God in the universe. He is going to carry out judgment on every single person who's ever lived. There is an afterlife. There are two locations in the afterlife, heaven and the lake of fire. There is a way to have our sins forgiven and to get eternal life so that we go to heaven. And that way is the death of Jesus on the cross to pay for our sins, and he rose from the dead to prove it. And that is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. That is the only way to get our sins forgiven and get to heaven. This is the truth. There are not 50 ways to get to heaven. There's one. There are not 50 saviors. There's one. There's not 50 truths about how to get eternal life. There's one. There are not a number of different truths about how to live life successfully. There's one. People who are highly educated, and why do I say that? Because you can be a relativistic person and not be highly educated, but it just seems like that there is an inverse proportion between the amount of your education and the ridiculousness of your position on absolute truth. Let me make it simpler. People get educated beyond their intelligence, and they get educated out of believing the Word of God. The Word of God is presented by these educators as simplistic. People who believe in it, we're simplistic. We're morons. We are completely stupid. Listen, I ran into that when I first came to Christ in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Little college town, but full of people who were relativistic thinkers, who really thought they were something. And they laughed at me. I mean, I was well known in town. They laughed at me. They thought when I told them I came to believe in Jesus, they thought this was the stupidest thing they ever heard of. A lot of my fraternity brothers laughed at me, thought it was the stupidest thing they ever heard of. Hey, I knew God had done something supernatural in my life, and I knew that he was real and living inside of me. So, you know what? They tried to give me all these Bible stumpers and everything to tell me the Bible's wrong. You know what? Now I can answer all those so-called Bible stumpers. I couldn't then. I was a brand new Christian. It didn't matter. I knew that this book was true because what it had done in my life, and they couldn't talk me out of it. And even though they called me a moron and a simpleton, fine. I'm a simpleton, but I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a simpleton. Fine. But I've got the living Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and he has made me free from all the sin and all the dysfunctional behavior that had ruined my life. I'd be a simpleton, but my sins are forgiven now, and I've got a chance to start a new life. I've become a new creature in Christ. Okay, I'm a simpleton. Fine. But you know what? I became a simpleton who said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. Fine. Simple? Yes. Simple enough for a child to understand? Yes. God said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. And 50? Well, now how many years has it been? 1971? 54 years later. Wow. I believe, praise the Lord, I've been walking with God for 54 years. 54 years later, I'm still right there. Let me show you something. This is the Bible that Bob Eckhart gave me in 1971 out of the back of his truck, and it challenged me to read it. And I read it. And you know what? I studied it. Look at this marked up Bible here. I studied it, and I made it. Look at this. The truth source for my life, 54 years ago. I've still got this Bible. Man, it's precious to me. And this is the truth. That's what Jesus said. And it changed my life. You know what? It'll change your life too. If you'll just believe it, that it's the truth. So folks, it's okay for people to think you're a simpleton. I mean, look, I'm a highly educated simpleton. I've got degrees from UNC Chapel Hill, Capital Bible Seminary, Johns Hopkins University, Liberty Baptist Seminary. I'm a fairly educated simpleton, but the difference is I did not let the education take me beyond my intelligence. Don't you let your education, and I love education. I pushed education on my children, and praise the Lord. But don't let your education take you past your common sense and your faith. No, be a highly educated simpleton. That's fine in the eyes of those people. It doesn't matter what they think. That's the beautiful part. The truth says it only matters what God thinks of us. Right? Right. Let me close with a verse from Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, and I say to you, friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more power that they can do. They think you're a simpleton? Don't worry about it. They persecute us for our faith? Don't worry about it, Jesus said. The worst they can do is kill you, and then you go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said, I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about God and saying, once you're dead here, it doesn't end. He has the... it's not that he can't do any more to you like people. He can send you to hell. That's the person that you should fear, respect, love, honor, obey. Fear him who after he's killed, what does the Bible say? Has the power to cast into hell. The truth. The truth. God said it. If you're smart, you'll believe it because that ends it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you did not leave us adrift in this world, but that you told us the truth in the Bible, and it's the truth, not a truth. So Lord, help us to be those people, educated or not, formally, humanly, educated or not, who are wise, and wise people believe the Bible. And they believe the truth of the Bible, and they believe it's absolute truth, and they decide they're going to ride that truth like a surfboard into eternity. And Lord Jesus, if they do, those of us who do are going to end up spending eternity with you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear God. Give us the courage to stand up against anybody who says anything they want to say about us. But the worst they can do is kill the body, and we're not scared of them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Yes. All right. Now, that's preaching. Yeah. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week for some more preaching, I hope. Lord willing, here on Live with Lon. God bless.